For the reading of God's Word, I thank God for the good Sunday school hour and the good music. I've enjoyed it all. Well, Brother David said he was glad when they said unto him, "Let's go into the house of the Lord." And so I'm glad to be here today. Amen. That's right. I'd rather be here and be in the county jail than you. I'd rather be here and be in the hospital. I'd even rather be here than I would be at home. It's just good to come to God's house and be in the Lord's house this morning. Well, I want to ask you this morning if you'd do me a favor to pray for me. And please keep your Bibles open. I'm going to go to three different places in the Word of God. And I'll say a little bit more about it in just a moment. But I want to read a few verses and then I'll tell you about what I'm going to be speaking on. And try to get through it hurriedly for your sake, my sake, and everybody else's sake. Amen. All right, if you'll turn your Bible to the book of Numbers and chapter number 16. Book of Numbers and chapter number 16. If you have a Scofield Bible, at the beginning of that chapter, it says the years of wandering. Then it says the gainsaying of Korah. And you can find that, what it says about Korah in Jude. If you want to read that book, it's there for your learning, okay? Jude in verse 11, I believe it is. All right, I want to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, 'Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?'" That's all I'm going to read. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the privilege we have to be in the house of God this morning. I thank you for a good Sunday school hour and the people that's here. What a joy it is to be saved, Lord, to know your name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray you'll give us divine leadership this morning by the Spirit of God. May you breathe upon us in an unusual way, not only, Lord, upon the preacher, but upon the people of God as well. Open our hearts of learning and understanding. May the Spirit of God illuminate Christ and magnify the Lord Jesus before us. Help us, I pray, Lord, to get our hearts in a place of praise and adoration and worship of our God that loved us and gave Himself for it. I never want to get over the fact, Lord, that You died in my place on Calvary. You shed Your precious blood that sinners like myself and others could be saved, that we could come to know God and have eternal life. Now, I pray You are blessed with liberty this morning. I pray You would encourage our hearts. Help us now, and we'll thank You for whatever sinner that is saved and for God's people that find help. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. I want to preach on an unusual subject this morning. And I believe with all my heart, the Lord laid it upon my heart to preach this. The three texts that I'm going to use this morning came to my heart just like that. And I'm going to be honest, I don't have an outline. I've got three stories to tell. And I'm going to tell the stories and mention a few little words of God here. And we're going to the house this morning. But I want to preach today on this thought, the insurrection of the wicked, or the insurrection of the ungodly. As Korah, and the sons of Korah, and Abiram, and others here in the text, made insurrection against our rebellion against God and against the people of God. Now, if you're wondering what that word means, I want to give you a definition of it. I'm sure many of you know. But it means rising against civil or political authority. The open and active opposition of numbers of persons to the execution of law in a city or state. And it is used in such a broad latitude that it also includes sedition and rebellion. Now, I don't think anybody would doubt, if you've read chapter number 16, that Korah was in rebellion against the leadership and the authority of dear brother Moses here. And I want to use the three stories, the one of Korah, and then the one of Absalom, and then the one of Judas Iscariot, and preach on that thought this morning, if a little while, if God would help me, on the insurrection of the ungodly. Amen. Now, you know that God's people here are in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness and they're wandering. And by the way, God has an order for His people. God has a plan for His people. And God has a particular place in His service for all of God's people. And here, God had placed the Levites in charge of the priesthood. He had put them in the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. And He had made only them the priests. They ministered and worked around the tabernacle and ministered to the people of God. But when we come to this particular text, we find that there's a man here by the name of Korah. And of course, he had relatives, Dathan and Abiram and others. And the Bible said that they rose up before Moses and together against Moses and against Aaron. They rose up against Moses and against Aaron. And they rose up in rebellion against their leadership and against their authority. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 2 there. They were just not men, but the Bible said they were certain men. That is, that they were well-known men. In fact, it goes on to say that they were famous in the congregation, men of renown. In other words, these men were known by everybody in the congregation there with Moses in the wilderness. They were known to the people, and they knew the people. And they rose up in rebellion against the man of God and what God had called him to do. And the Bible said in verse number 3 that they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you." In other words, they said, "You've got too much authority. You're doing things without asking us anything about it." And it said, "Seeing that all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." May I say to you this morning that Moses and Aaron was not lifting themselves up above the congregation. Moses and Aaron were fulfilling the jobs that God had called them to do. God had put them in the priesthood. They were to minister around the tabernacle. It was Moses that God spoke to face to face, and He made that clear to Israel. He said, "If there's a prophet that rises up in Israel, I'll speak to him." But He said, "Moses, I'm going to speak to him face to face." And you know, I believe that really, that Korah and Abiram and the rest of that crowd, I believe that they were eat up with envy. They could not tolerate the fact that God had blessed Moses and put him in that exalted position before the people that he would lead those people through the wilderness. And they thought they ought to have some say in it. I want to say to you this morning, unless God has called a person, now, stay with me now, unless God has called a person, I don't even care if he's a preacher, unless God has called a person to a particular place in His service, and they usurp authority over the man God has put there, they are out of God's order. And these people were out of God's order. And the reason was they were eat up with envy. They could not, they just envied Moses for what God had done for him. And then jealousy came along. You know, jealousy is a terrible thing if it's used in the wrong way. If it's in the right way, it's a good thing. A man ought to be jealous over his wife. God is jealous over His people. But I'm going to tell you, when you become jealous because somebody else has got something or is doing something or God has called somebody to do something that you're not doing, and you get jealous over that, you've got a real problem down in your heart. And I'm going to tell you what it'll lead to. Envy and jealousy will finally lead to strife. And that's exactly what happened here with Korah and Abiram and the others. They were envious of Moses and Aaron. It led to jealousy in their heart, and that jealousy led to strife within the people of God. That led to strife within that people of God. And then there became a struggle for power. Stay with me now. I know this is going to be tough, but you can handle it. Stay in there. There became a struggle for power. Here was a Korah and Abiram. And Dathan, they were looking for the power. I mean, they wanted the people to run the show. Come on in the house, boys and girls. They wanted the people to have the authority in the congregation. I believe in church authority. Don't misunderstand me one bit. But I'm telling you that God calls men and places men in places of authority in the house of God, and to rise up against those men and against that authority is insurrection, and God will not tolerate insurrection in the house of God with His people. Amen right there. Amen. And so there began a struggle for authority. Now, notice what it said in verse number 9. Moses reminds these people. Korah said, "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to Himself, to do service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them?" These were not people that didn't have something to do. These were people that stood before the congregation. God had given them a service in the house of God. Come on now. God had given them a job, a service in the house of God. They stood before the people, but they were not satisfied with that. They wanted that one position, that one place. They wanted that power and that authority over Moses and over the people as well. Now, I'm going to tell you, it didn't set very well with God. It didn't set very well with God. Oh, they wanted that authority. Come on now. They had a position in the service of God, and they served in the presence of the people, but that was not enough for them. That was not enough for them. And notice in verse number 21, and I'm just hurrying through this. The Bible said Moses spoke to the people and said, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment." They began to drag others down with them. They wasn't satisfied with what they were doing themselves. Boy, it's quiet today. They weren't satisfied with what they were doing themselves. They began to work and began to drag other people into their sin with them. And I'm telling you right now, come on in the house. You can like it or love it, hug it or love it. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, when that kind of a problem develops, somebody is going to try to drag somebody else into that insurrection with them and drag them in their sin right down with them where they go as well. And I'm going to tell you, if you think that's set well with God, son, you've got another thing coming. And Moses even told him in verse 29 and 30. He said, "If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited with the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." He said, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." God sent them a warning. God sent a warning to the rest of the people. He said, "Separate yourselves. Get away from these people. Get away from their tents. Get away from everything that they have." And I'm going to tell you why. Because he did exactly what he said.
Friend, he done something new that had never been done before. God opened up the earth and they went down alive into hell without God and everything that pertained to them. And I'm going to hit this whether you can like it or not. Everything that appertained to them, that meant the men, women, and their children. Read the book. Men, women, and children. I'm going to tell you, if you think God likes rebellion, friend, you're wrong. Rebellion led to our sin. When the devil rebelled against God and was cast down, I'll tell you, that old serpent beguiled Eve, and Eve gave to Adam, and Adam ate, and sin come into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, and for that all have sinned. What are you saying? I'm saying it all started with rebellion in heaven, the devil and his rebellion against God and against God's authority. He wanted God's throne. He wanted to be where God was at. He wanted what God had, and God wouldn't let him have what he had. Now I'm telling you, when you start wanting something that somebody else has got, God ain't going to tolerate that. It's called rebellion, friend. It's called rebellion, insurrection in the house of God. And I can speak from experience. Been there, done that, and I've got several t-shirts if you're going to look at them. Amen. And so the ground opened up and swallowed those people up alive. Now I want to show you how naive some people are. In verse number 41, on the next day, said, "But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, 'Ye have killed the people of the Lord.'" Do what? God opened up the ground and swallowed them up alive? Moses didn't have anything to do with that. God opened up the ground and swallowed them up alive. They went down into the pit alive. And yet the rest of the people in the congregation were so naive, they went to Moses and said, "Hey, you know what you've done? You have killed the people of the Lord." I'm going to tell you, I have never heard of one of God's people going to hell, friend. God's people don't go to hell. God's people go to heaven. Somebody say amen right there. I'm going to tell you, if they'd been on the right side, if they'd have been on the right side and on God's side, they could have went on with Moses and went right on into the promised land with Joshua if they wanted to. Yes, sir. But they didn't. Let me tell you another little story, and then I'll get to these thoughts here in a minute. There's another story in the Bible. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Absalom. Absalom was the son of King David. And he killed his brother and was banished for a while. Because of Joab, David let him come back into Jerusalem. And David was glad to see him. It was his boy. In fact, to be honest with you, it was his fair-haired boy. It was his pick of all the boys. It was Absalom. He wept over Absalom when he died, but he didn't weep over Amnon at all. But he wept over Absalom. But the Bible said in 2 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse 1, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him." Did you notice that word "prepared" in there? He prepared him chariots of horses and 50 men to run before him. That word "prepared" indicates that these men had been under the thumb of Absalom all along. He had been coaxing them and that they had them under his thumb all along. In other words, what he did against his daddy wasn't something that just sprung up. It was like Brother Steve said in Sunday school, it churned a while in his heart. Here is a young boy. I can't get over this. I can't believe my own son would do that, but Absalom did. It began to swell up in his heart that he wanted what David had. He wanted to be king of all Israel. And he began to work under behind the scenes. Come on in the house, buddy. I'm telling you, he got down under the cover where nobody could see him and began to prepare him men to run before him and chariots to run before him. Can I say this to you this morning? That was something that was reserved for the king and those that the king appointed only to have chariots and men to run before them. And I can, and I'm just telling you, David had to be privy of that, and why he didn't stop it then before it got out of hand is beyond me. But he, these men, hey, and I'm going to look what it says in verse 2. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate, and it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then old Absalom called unto him. And you know what he did? Now listen carefully. It was customary in those days. Those people would stick out their hand like this, or the king would put out his hand, and they would kiss it as a show of respect and obedience. And when they came to Absalom and reached out their hand, Absalom knelt to them and began to come on now and begin to gain their confidence. He began to gain their confidence. And it said, any man. And he rose up early to be at that gate. Friend, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying he rose up early and worked hard to do what he got done. Absalom was not lazy. And Absalom wasn't a fool. He rose up early and stood at the gate. When those men began to come in, he wanted to make sure he talked to as many men as he could talk to. Oh, come on now. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Come on, you can like this or not. You can call a meeting for me. But I'm telling you, I grow weary. I grow weary in my soul when somebody begins in the house of God to go to every man, everybody, every person in the house of God, and they try to befriend those. Come on now. And try to love and dove and hug and love and dove and hug up to those people. I'm telling you something. As a man of God, as a preacher, I cannot do that. I can be friends with these folks at work here, but I'm telling you, I cannot run at your house and stay at your house and live at your house and be at your house. I'm going to tell you what the Bible said of it. If you make a nuisance out of yourself at your friend's house, he'll soon get fed up with it and run you off. That's what the book said. Now, I can't be friends with everybody. You wouldn't respect me if I was. I'd be old buddy, old pal, old Joe. But a man of God can't be that to everybody. He's got to be friendly, yes. But he's got to be the pastor, and he cannot lose his respect, cannot lose his dignity, and he cannot lose his honor amongst the people. And if he does, they won't trust him ever again. And they will not follow his leadership ever again. And oh, and I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid I'm seeing that slipping away in the house of God right here. Come on now. Somebody said, for what reason? I don't know, but I'm going to tell you why I'm preaching. I'm preaching on this morning. I'm telling you that Korah rose up against Moses and Absalom rose up against David because both of them wanted what the other man had. Amen. That's right. And he stood there at the gate. Listen, and Absalom said unto them, see, thy matters are good and right, but there are no man deputed of king to hear thee. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, that he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom do to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. Notice this. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Stole them. That's a pretty stiff word. I don't know of any thief. Come on now. I don't know of any thief that does anything in broad daylight where everybody can see him. I don't know anybody that, gets out of their car and runs around for 5 minutes in a parking lot and says, I'm gonna rob the bank! I'm gonna rob the bank! Everybody gather around, watch me rob the bank! You ain't gonna find that! Now I'm gonna tell you, you're not gonna find that in the house of God either. What you're going to find is somebody just exactly like Absalom, sneaking around undercover, stealing the hearts of the people, making friends with them and stealing the hearts of the people. Come on in the house now. And it won't be long. I won't be long till that I'll be set on the man of God. And I'm telling you right now, with that insurrection and the people that he stole their hearts, they'll rise up against the man of God just like they did here. Wow. Ain't we having fun today? And notice this. When Absalom rebelled there in verse number 12, it said, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite, David's counselor from his city, even from Giloh, while they offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. I want to ask you one question. Why did Absalom send for Ahithophel? Ahithophel was David's counselor. I'm going to tell you something. If I was going to do something crooked around here, I wouldn't run in there and get Brother Steve. Unless he was in it with me. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying Ahithophel, David thought was his counselor, but I believe all along Ahithophel was a co-conspirator of this thing, and he was the one giving the counsel to Absalom about what to do. Are you listening to me? He was giving Absalom the counsel. He was a co-conspirator in this mess. Now I'm going to tell you why it was. Everybody listen very carefully to what I'm telling you. Ahithophel was the grandpa of Bathsheba. Now I tell you, I still believe that it ripped his heart out to know what David done to Bathsheba and her husband. He never got over that. Amen. And he waited for the day that he could get even with David. All those years he spent in David's court as a counselor, and he waited till he could get even. I'm going to tell you, the day come along that he got a man. They looked for a man and they found a man. That man's name was Absalom, and I'm telling you, Ahithophel began to counsel him on what to do and how to do it. And buddy, they put a conspiracy out, and hey, and it almost overthrew the kingdom. Old David left that city, and his men crossed over the brook Kidron, went up the hill with their heads covered and their shoes off and weeping. And by the way, the shoes off on a Jew was a sign of disrespect. I mean, a sign of sin and iniquity. Weakness. Amen. They went on disgraced. They went up disgraced with their shoes off, their heads covered and weeping. Now, I wonder if Absalom was weeping. Oh no. It didn't break his heart. You know why? He got his little sugar stick to suck on. He got his little sucker to suck on. But David was a guy with a broken heart. David is a man that had risked his life. Come on now. David laid his life down for Israel. And they bucked him and balked again. He went up weeping while Absalom was rejoicing. Didn't bother him a bit about what he had done. But David was the fellow that was weeping. Because he loved the people. But there's a hireling come along. And somehow, every man is tempted what? When he's drawn away of his own lust. Absalom probably one day looked in Ahithophel's presence and said, you know something? I might just be in line for the kingship one day. And Ahithophel probably said, I can help you get it.
Yeah.
I know everything David does. I can help you get it. Sooner than you think. Are you listening?
Amen.
I'm on in the house now. But you know what happened? Oh my. Even in there, while they were running away in chapter 17 and verse 27,
Said it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel, of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, of Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour, parched corn, beans and lentils and parched pulse, and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and the thirsty in the wilderness. You know where David was at? Out in the wilderness. Come on now. Absalom thought he had succeeded, and here's David in the wilderness. Not in Jerusalem where they spread the table for him. Not in Jerusalem where all of his servants was at. But David is out yonder in the wilderness, ladies and gentlemen, fleeing from his own son. But oh, the great God of heaven loved his people so much that it was just like he opened up heaven itself and sent those men with food to sustain them while they were there in the wilderness. Amen. Riding from that man. I'm telling you, I've learned a long time ago, God will feed his youngins. Even in the midst of conflict and war and wilderness wandering, God will feed his youngins. We had a fellow come up here one night, been coming for several weeks to the church. Sit right over there. Brother Mike Moody preached one night along the same lines I'm preaching. But that guy got madder than a wet hornet. He ain't been back since. You know why? He was a preacher. But he kind of come in incognito. I'm telling you, I've seen him, friend. They sneak in like a sneaky snake, crawling like a sneaky snake.
Amen.
They're like a creep. They're like a cockroach that comes in under the door. Amen. Say amen right there. That's the way old Absalom was. But you know what happened to the young man? The battle rose up and they took a council really of David's, took his counsel, and they sent out all the men against David and his 600. They got in the woods fighting. The Bible said that the woods that day killed more than the battle did. Would you believe that as old Absalom was riding down through there on that mule, and he always had his hair, he pulled his hair, he had long hair, fellas, and had a pole sticking up. I mean, you know, like a beehive on top, probably. And he's riding a mule, and his head gets caught in the oaks, in the forks of an oak tree. And the mule walked on. Old Brother Roloff preached a message years ago entitled, "And the Mule Walked On." There is the rebellious one caught in an oak tree. By the way, the oak tree in the Bible is a type of strength. He got caught in the power and the strength of God and could not get away. And along came Joab. A guy come and said, "Hey, Joab, he's down there hung in a tree." And Joab said, "Why didn't you kill him?" He said, "Because the king said not to." Joab said, "I'll take care of it." Joab went down there and run 3 darts through his heart and killed him while he hung in a tree. You know why I believe he did? Now listen to this. I hope you don't pass out right here. I believe Joab was in on it too. I believe Joab was in on it too. And when he saw that Absalom had lost the battle, you think he was going to let Absalom live and tell David? Joab said, "We'll kill him. He's lost the battle. David's won again." Amen. Come on in the house. And I'm here to tell you, Joab wound up getting David wound up getting revenge on Joab. He told Solomon when he came to the king, he said, "Do you know what you ought to do to Joab, don't you?" He said, "Don't you let his hoary head go down into the grave in peace." And Solomon didn't. He sent Benaiah down there, buddy, and he fell on him. Benaiah fell on a lot of them, boys. Come on in the house now, children. Now there's one more. I'll soon be done. Somebody said, "I'm glad." Well, I will be too. There's another fellow in the Bible that led an insurrection. Only this time it was against the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? That somebody is loving and kind and gracious and merciful. I can't comprehend people that, and I know it was the Lord's doings. I understand that. But let's look at the Lord Jesus for a minute. He went about doing good. He never met a man he didn't love, I don't think. He healed the sick. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. He opened the ears of the deaf. I mean, He supplied food for the people that were hungry. He did everything good, and yet there came a man named Judas. And I'm telling you, this right here is what gets me. In chapter 26 of Matthew, in verse number 14, the Bible said, then one of the twelve, right in the inner circle, one of the twelve called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? What will ye give me? Now, I want to say this one more time. They wanted to put the Lord to death a long time before this, but they didn't have the opportunity. They were looking for a man that would do it for them. And they found him! And Judas, they found him! He said, what will you give me? They said, 30 pieces of silver. Can I say this, y'all? Come on now, listen to me. 30 pieces of silver. You know what 30 pieces... You know, hey, you know what a man... You know what a man's life was valued at in the Old Testament? 50 pieces of silver. You know what a woman's life was valued at? 30 pieces of silver. So the Lord was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was a man. But I'm going to tell you what, that 30 pieces of silver didn't represent that man. That 30 pieces of silver... Woo! Silver is always redemption! That 30 pieces of silver represented the bride that Christ came to die for. Hallelujah! Hey, the price of the bride. He paid the price for the bride. Can you get a hold of that? Hey, God, He paid our price. And Calvary, ladies and gentlemen, yes, He did. 30 pieces of silver.
Amen.
Paid for the bride. And old Judas said, what will you give me? And they went into the upper room and had communion. When they came out of the upper room, before they ever got out, get a hold of this now, before they ever had communion, Judas dipped the sop, but he didn't have the bread and the wine. Before they had communion, he was gone. It left only the 11 and Jesus. Those that were loyal, those that were saved, was able to take communion. Lost people ought to never take communion. God, I'm telling you, you're heaping coals of hell fire upon your head if you're lost and take communion. But then they went out into the Gethsemane. And Jesus prayed. And He prayed three times. And He told His disciples, said, behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand. He said, there come the chief priests and all of them, all the elders with swords and staves. No, Judas Iscariot, pardon me, Brother Jerome, I won't hurt you. Judas Iscariot walked up to him and said, and in one of his Gospels it said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Now get a hold of this. This, I have to pray, I could go read it for you. I might as well just do that. What it says in the book, I might as well just read it. After Judas had betrayed him, and they were in the garden, Jesus said unto him, friend, where art thou come? Now, boy, when I got a hold of that, Brother Troy, it broke my heart. Do you know what Jesus is saying to him? He said, where you been?
Amen.
Me and the others been here in the garden in prayer. Judas, where have you been? He knew right well where Judas had been. Judas had been with that crowd that wanted to kill the Lord. He was an insurrector. He had committed insurrection. He had committed rebellion against Christ Himself. And by the way, there ain't another man in the Bible nowhere that the Bible said that Satan entered into him.
There was men in the Bible that had devils in them, and one of them had a legion, and Jesus cast them all out. But he's the only man in the Bible that it says Satan entered into him. Not one of his cohorts, but the Satan himself entered into Judas. And Jesus said, "Where you been? We've been out here praying, Judas." You know what? It broke Christ's heart to see one of his men. And he had even told him, said, "Have not I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil." He was a devil, but Satan entered into him. He was already a devil. Are you listening? And Satan entered into him. And you know what that insurrection was all about? Power and authority. I'm telling you, there's been a battle going on through the ages. Satan has always wanted what Jesus has got. But I got news for that egg sucker. He ain't going to get it.
Amen.
He don't have enough power. He don't have the authority.
Amen.
Oh no, Christ someday will put out all power and all authority under His feet. Hallelujah to God. And that goes along for the devil as well. Won't you be glad when Jesus cast that devil into a lake of fire? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God, yes. He led that insurrection against the Lord. You know what he did? Same thing as Ahithophel did. I believe that Judas was Ahithophel incarnate. Now, you can believe whatever you want to believe. They both betrayed David the king, was betrayed by Ahithophel, who out of David's loins came the king, who was betrayed by Judas. Both of them, Ahithophel and Judas both, hanged themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you where I think they're at. I think they're in hell. You can believe what you... Judas went to his own place. Come on in the house now. Now, three or four things and I'm done. I'll be done. What all went on here? I'll be very quick. Well, they fought for authority. Korah wanted authority. Absalom wanted authority. Judas wanted authority. Satan really wanted authority. They all was fighting for a place of authority. And I'm telling you, men today are crazy over authority. You look at these bunch of stupid politicians we got running around over the country. I don't know whether any of them is worth a vote or not. I think when you hear of a man that will spend $50 million of his own money to have a political office, there's more to it than just having a political office. He's looking for that power and that authority, where he can put his hand on somebody and rule over them. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what these people, and I just read you, they wanted to put their hand on the people and rule over them. I'm telling you, you listening? God ain't never called a preacher to be a ruler. He's called a preacher to preach and to love. And if you're in sin, tell you about it. But to go on loving you regardless. He's not called a preacher to come into your home and run your home. Now, I can preach to you here what the Bible says about the home. But I don't dare come in your home. I've had preachers try to get into people's bedrooms before and tell them what they need to do in the bedroom. That's stupid. That is stupid. They fought for authority. Three things. The authority, number one, was unauthorized. God didn't give it to them. Now I'm telling you, if God hadn't given you authority and given you a place of authority, you better leave it alone.
Amen.
Korah went to hell. Ahithophel hanged himself. Judas hanged himself. Stay away from somebody like that. Lest hell open her mouth and swallow you up too. It was unauthorized authority. It was unprofitable. What did it profit? In any of these situations, did Korah profit? Did Absalom profit? Did Judas profit? Totally unprofitable. May I say number three, it was very unwise. Oh, for a man or a woman to rebel against God's authority, do you realize how stupid that is?
It'd be like walking out in front of a freight train and saying, "Whoa!" Right. You know what he's going to do? Toot, toot. That train, you ain't going to stop it. And I'm going to tell you something, you're not going to stop God either.
Amen.
That leads me to the next thought here. They fought for authority, then they failed to achieve their purpose. You know why? God's plan would be accomplished. God's got a plan. God planned for Moses to lead him through the wilderness and Joshua to lead him into the promised land. Not Korah, not Abiram, not Dathan, but God chose Moses and Joshua and Aaron, and that's the way it was going to be. Hey, I'm telling you that God's got a plan and a purpose, and it will not be thwarted. And it won't be thwarted because of God's power. God's got too much power. He's not going to let it happen. And the third thing is because of God's precepts, God's Word. It can't fail. I've read the last chapter, Brother Gray. If not, that book ain't going to fail, neighbor. You can take what God said to the bank. He said, "I'm going to take Moses over there, show him the promised land, let him down Mount Nebo," and he did. So I'm going to take Joshua and lead him across. And he did! What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying God has got a job and a purpose for everybody that He saved. And if they'll stay in their place where God has put them, it'll work out fine. But if they don't, I'm telling you, the judgment of God is coming on that crowd. Whether they be saved or whether they be lost. That's right. So God's power would prevail, and God's precepts could not fail. God's plan God's plan would be accomplished. And then their folly. Their folly ended in judgment. And it's folly, ladies and gentlemen, to raise up against God or against God's authority. It's folly. I've already mentioned this, but you know what happened to Korah? The Bible said that earth opened up. And Korah and everything that appertaineth to Korah were swallowed up into the pit alive. Can you imagine such judgment falling on somebody? God didn't even take time to kill them before He put them in hell. They went to hell alive. I can't imagine going to hell, much less going to hell alive. They went to hell alive. And then the earth just closed back up. God said they're gone and they're gone forever. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Hell is a thing that will never let you go. I would encourage you today to flee to Christ and lay hold on eternal life, because hell will never, never, never let you go. Never let you go, friend. It closed up on them. God sealed. I don't even believe there was a spot left where they went down. But you know what? There were 250 people that followed them. Had their little censers and their fire burning. Supposed to be worshiping God. You know what God done? He opened the pit alive on the Korah and that crowd. And I'm going to tell you that 250, God took care of them with fire from heaven. God rained fire to heaven! Killed that crowd as well. What are you saying? You better be careful. Following someone who's out of their place of authority. I'm not saying fire will fall. I just wonder really how many people in the world today, really, spiritually speaking. See, everything in the Old Testament has a spiritual application in the New Testament. I wonder how many people there are sitting on the pews of churches today that are Lot's wife.
Amen.
Well, they're alive, but they're just a pillar of salt.
Right.
I wonder how many people today are like these that were burned up with fire. Oh, they're sitting on church pew, but they're already spiritually burned up with fire.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you why they did. Because they had a fire burning in their bosom, a rebellion, and God, hey, they wouldn't let God put it out. So God gave them fire and burned them up.
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, "You're hateful." No, I'm not hateful. I'm just telling you the facts of the matter, friend.
Amen.
And poor old Absalom. killed by Joab while hanging by his head in the forks of an oak tree. Can you imagine hanging there by your head and there's nothing you can do? I can imagine that he was screaming out, "You were helping me. We're friends. You're on my side." Joab said, licked that dart and said, "Not anymore, pal." And he put three through his heart. And then the young men pranced around him like they were something and throw darts into the body of a dead man. I'm telling you, the minds of people are so depraved today. They're so anti-God. They killed Absalom. The rebellion was settled, but poor old David said, "Absalom, Absalom, oh my son Absalom, would to God it had been me, Absalom." He wept and cried. Joab went to him and said, "Hey, if you don't get out of this mood, it's going to be worse than it was before." And David went and sat at the gate. And the people said, "The king's sitting in the gate." And they all went to him, and he took all of Israel back over as king. They followed him once again. When the rebellion was put down, they knew when it was put down and David was alive, they knew David. They knew David was God's man without a doubt. That was what it was all about here with Korah. If you'll read the text, you'll find where Moses said, "Hey, I'll tell you what we'll do. If God does a new thing, if God doesn't, if you die by the way of all men, and God hadn't called me, but if you, God does a new thing, and the earth opens up and calls you up alive, you'll know God sent me."
Right.
Then there was poor old Ahithophel. Poor old Ahithophel. He hanged himself. He was a co-conspirator with Absalom. And the Bible said that he set his house in order, hanged himself. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about insurrection of the ungodly. It never works. It always fails. Always has. And always will. Always will. Let's stand together.